Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. I'm Lon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant located in North Idaho. All the interviews in this series can be found at strugglingteens.com, along with 26 years of essays, visit reports, and press releases relating to the network of private parent choice residential schools and programs working with teens and young people making poor decisions. Today is October the 16th, 2015, and we're going to talk about doing or be. The topic is just don't do something, be. My guest is Elise Mitchell. Good afternoon or good morning, Elise. Good to have you here.
Thank you. It's great to be chatting with you today, Lon.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about just being. And we live in a world where very commonly people say, well, don't just stand there, do something. Well, you're saying that sometimes exactly the reverse. You're getting in the way of productivity or getting in the way of yourself if you are doing something and getting into unnecessary business. So what do you mean, don't just do something, be? What do you mean by be?
So yeah, you touched on it. We're in a culture that right now really it's all about how productive we can be. And in fact, even the way that we describe sleep is in context to waking consciousness. We don't even understand sleep very well because we're so fascinated with being awake and being in this doing mode. And I think we've lost something in that. So part of my job, I'm a health and wellness coordinator for Evoke Therapy programs out here in Utah. And a lot of what I'm doing is helping kids find the balance between not escaping and slacking off, but intentionally being still and being quiet with themselves versus always being active, always being in the midst of doing. Because that, just like slacking off too much, it's another coping mechanism, and it can become like a way for them to distract themselves from what's really important.
Okay, so you're not talking about somebody just vegging and lazy. Actually being takes about as much effort to truly be someplace. Be in the present, mindfulness comes to mind. It takes as much effort as it does to do something productive, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So how do you get there? What are some of the techniques you use to just be? And what does be mean? I think, mindfulness, be aware of what's going on in the present, not thinking about the future or the past, but just being there and being in touch with your true self, maybe.
Brilliantly said. Yeah, it's really, the concept is just, can you be still? Can you be with yourself without being distracted, whether it's Facebook or emailing or whatever it might be? I'm using that word a lot. But just, yeah, being able to sit in the present moment and not be anywhere else. And how to do that, it's different for everybody. You know, it's like for some people, I work with a lot of people who have trauma, for instance, in their background. So would I have them sit perfectly still? Probably not. So for someone who is going to be difficult for them to sit inside their own body, maybe a walking meditation. Or if you're at home in the front country, maybe it's spending that 2 seconds at a stoplight and breathing. You know, so it's very, there's lots of practices, and it's adaptable to anybody.
Okay, so that's something that needs to be worked at. What are some of the benefits of it, and how does this relate with what's been called very popular nowadays, mindfulness?
Yeah, so there's two things that I, in particular, am attached to in this concept of being, intentionally being, and it is mindfulness. And there's two things. First of all, it is a challenge. Like you were saying, it's very difficult for people to stay in the present moment because the mind has been taught to be distracted. If you watch TV, you're watching, different images pop into your eyeballs like every 3 seconds. So it's like training a muscle that we're not used to training. And the challenges for like the kids I work with is as soon as you get quiet and you get still, then all those little demons, all those things that you don't want to think about and all those things you don't want to feel come to the surface. So that's the first thing about mindfulness is it does pose a great challenge. And when those things do percolate to the surface, that's when you can actually look at them and start to heal. The second thing about mindfulness that is so valuable is when we spend all of our time in our thoughts, too often and people identify as their thoughts. How many of us wake up in the morning going, oh, I wish I was thinner. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. And there's this chatter, and so many people attach to that chatter as though it's meaningful. But when you do mindfulness practices, you start to witness, you start to separate yourself from those thoughts and gain more of an observer role. And you see that that chatter is just chatter, and you don't have to identify with all that judgment, all those self-deprecating thoughts, all that stress that can come out of the chatter.
Well, getting rid of that chatter is easier said than done. I know you mentioned two things there that's interesting. One is being comfortable with yourself. And I learned when I was in high school that very, very few people were really comfortable with themselves. They're always trying to avoid themselves. And I learned that because when I was graduated from high school, I went on a Forest Service lookout, spent the summer. I was by myself, and I enjoyed it. But several of my contemporaries tried that job, and they lasted maybe 3 days, and they just couldn't stand with all these distractions. They couldn't stand with being with herself. And then that chatter, there's some other things on that too, not only the chatter and the other things and the negative things, but you're talking about it can be regrets, or you can talk, or you can be thinking about regrets, or you can be thinking about past glories or future plans, all kinds of things. And that's the hard part for me, is getting rid of that chatter and just shut the mind down so I can come out.
Yeah, really well said. And I think for some people, I think you bring up a good point. I think people, when they talk mindfulness and they're not familiar with the practice, they think of you're going to be the Zen monk. And it's not so much that. It's that you start to witness the chatter and you just don't react to it. So it's more like turning the volume down. It doesn't mean that you'll necessarily get rid of the chatter altogether, but it's turning the volume down, and it doesn't play such a major role in how you view yourself or how you view the world around you.
Okay, what techniques do you use? Or I think you mentioned in one of the things you teach is yoga. I presume that's one of them.
Absolutely. I think one thing I always recommend when people are first starting any sort of mindfulness practice is, can you sit and watch your breath without changing it? Because if you can watch your breath and not try to make it deeper, not change its rhythm, it's more difficult than it sounds. That starts the process of witness consciousness, or the observer, versus being entangled and enmeshed with whatever you're thinking about or focusing on. So that's a very decent way of starting that process. And you can do it anywhere.
I presume that's something that somebody could do by themselves, though it might help to have a coach.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think, you know, if you've got a place that has a meditation center or yoga studio, it's a great way to feel like you're, first of all, you're doing something with other people. So there's a level of community there, and also a level of...
But there's that doing in there, isn't it?
Sure. You have to drive somewhere.
Yeah, that's true. But you have to do something to get there.
Yeah. But also the accountability, you know, having someone there kind of holding your hand helps you stay accountable to this practice, because it is. It's like going to the gym. Initially, it's going to feel like you're weak, you're not practiced, it's going to be awkward. But if you keep going to the gym, then you get stronger, you get more comfortable, you understand how the machines work, and it becomes part of who you are. And same thing with mindfulness and learning how to be still.
Okay, well, what are some of the various techniques? Are there other techniques or other types of meditation? I presume there's a whole bunch of different meditation approaches.
Oh my gosh, so many. Yeah. It ranges from guided imagery. I mean, that's something where you're sitting still, but you have someone speaking you through something that is made to tap into your imagination. That's often an easy way for people to start the process of mindfulness, because technically their mind still gets to be very active. So guided imagery is also a great gateway. Loving kindness meditation, or metta meditation, is another way to focus the mind on something specific. So it's not clearing the mind, but it's like the petulant child. Instead of running around the store, you give it one thing to focus on, and hopefully that will calm them down a little. So loving kindness meditation, guided imagery where your imagination's engaged, all the way down to what's more austere practices like Vipassana meditation, which is really specific kind of Buddhist discipline. And it's about being able to sit or walk in silence. And there's, you know, those are places all over the world that you can again go to to teach you different styles of meditation. So they go from like very approachable to pretty austere, and you know, there's something for everyone essentially.
Well, this is all fascinating, but we just have 10 minutes and about used up our time. But it just opened up a fascinating subject, and thank you very much. Now, I understand you're a certified health coach, and you do that and have a private practice as well as a health and welfare coordinator for Evoke Wilderness Program. Could you talk a little bit about how somebody could get a hold of you and a little bit about the two programs that you're involved with?
Absolutely. Evoke Therapy Programs is a wilderness program. We have a branch in southern Utah, a branch in Oregon, and it's for at-risk youth and young adults. You can look that up by looking at Evoke Therapy Programs or evoketherapy.com, or just look up Google Evoke Therapy Programs. You can reach me there at elise@evoketherapy.com. And then my website is elisemitchellcoaching.com, and you can email me at info@elisemitchellcoaching.com.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Well, this is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report, and been talking with Elise Mitchell. She's a certified health coach and the health and welfare coordinator for Evoke Therapy in Utah. And we've been talking about don't just do something, be. Thank you very much. Good to have you, Elise.
Thank you, Lon. It's great talking with you.